celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary. And each of them were 60 years of age each. So an angel appeared to each one of them and asked them, "What would you like for your anniversary?" The lady immediately responded and says, "I've never traveled." And instantly the angel stepped back, swung his sword, and she had two tickets for a cruise. The man's turn. He grabs the angel and he walks him over to the side and he says, "Hey," he goes, "I would like to be married to a lady 30 years younger than me." The angel stood back, swiped the sword, and instantly he was 90 years of age. Wow. I think you got the wrong message on that one. The ladies are saying, he got what he deserves, right? But the men out here are probably saying, "I need to be more specific about what I pray about." Good morning. This message this morning is going to be Matthew 14, 22-33. I've titled this message this morning, "Why Does God Allow Storms in Our Life?" Why does God allow storms in our life? You know, when I reflect back on my life, if it wasn't for the storms that were in my life and God's grace to see me through it, I probably wouldn't be the person that I feel like I am today. I wouldn't be here, up here, being able to share his word. I wouldn't be able to do anything without God's grace. I believe God uses situations in our life to provide, in his will, to provide miracles for us and to do things with us. When I was 12, and there's one thing, I have not yet ever shared my testimony here, and maybe one day I'll get that opportunity, but when I was 12, I look back, and when, you know, looking back when you're younger at 12, and I look back now, those were just sprinkles and rain. Those were the storms, right? I realized at the age of 12 what a category storm really meant. At the age of 12, I lost my mother. I was the oldest sibling of five. The youngest was 5 years of age, and me being 12. I did not have a clue of the amount of storms that were going to come back and continue to go after that. But I will share with you today that God saw me through every one of those storms. So why today, when I talk about a storm, and when we talk about it here in the scriptures, I want to help define what a storm is that I'm going to be talking about. A storm is a personal issue. It can be an illness. It could be a job. It could be your spouse. It could be your kids. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be a boyfriend. It could be a girlfriend. It could be finances. Basically, anything that produces stress and anxiety in our lives. I believe there are three possible scenarios of a storm, and I believe it's true. Either you've been in a storm, you're going through a storm, or you're about ready to enter a storm. Today, I hear both young and old going through anxiety issues. There are heavy stress. Many people believe, and unfortunately Christians believe, that once you're saved and once you become a Christian, that God doesn't allow storms in your life. Unfortunately, I even hear it and see it on TV with evangelists and people preaching the good stuff that if you become a Christian, if you come here, that you'll get the car that you want, you'll get the boat that you want, you'll have the house, you'll marry the person of your dreams. And although that may sometimes happen, unfortunately, it doesn't happen to all. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen to a lot of us. So the question begs, why? Why does God allow storms? Well, if you look at Matthew 14:22, if you were to turn there with you, if you have your Bibles, and you look at that very first verse of 14:22, you'll see that Jesus, in this passage, he leads his disciples into a life-threatening storm. So let's look at it. In verse 22, it says, "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him, and the others aside while they dismissed the crowds." Now notice the third word, if it's in your Bible. He says, he made them. He made them get in the boat. He didn't ask. He made them. And you know, and one thing about when I'm studying this is always the things I ask when I'm studying the Bible, is like, well, even the title, in your Bible, A lot of times the title of this part, you probably say Jesus walks on water, right? If you look at it, many scripture says Jesus walks on water. And obviously, yes, he did. And yes, that's a miracle. But then my question was, why did Jesus walk on water? What was the point of that? Why would somebody title that? And then why, when I read this, why would he have to make the disciples go in the boat? You know? And so when I look at this, he goes, perhaps disciples did not want to go. You know, they looked out at the Sea of Galilee, and they looked out, and they said, I see a storm out there. Because these disciples, a majority of them, were fishermen. They were sailors. They were savvy people in the sea. They understood what it was like. They could probably look out in the distance and say, yeah, that's not too good. But Jesus told them and gave them a command, hey, I want you to go to the other side. So did the disciples truly have something to worry about? Well, let's look at verse 24. But the boat by this time was long away from the land, beaten by waves, for the winds were against them. Why would Jesus deliberately put these guys and lead these guys into a storm? Why today does God lead us or allow us to face storms? That's what a lot of us are asking. Why would he allow it? Perhaps it's because Jesus wanted to teach them a very important lesson. And maybe, perhaps, there's a lesson for us. This is why we're going to do it. But I'll come back to why towards the end of this sermon. But I want you to notice further. For far their boat was out the shore. Look how far it says here. It says their boat was already a long distance away. See, the Sea of Galilee, if you don't know, is about 8 miles wide and is about 13 miles long. Right? And so you got to think of this. They're right now, out that far, they're probably right in the middle of the sea. And not only are they in the middle of the sea, they're in a smack dab in the middle of the storm. Are you personally today, here today, in the middle of a storm or a problem? You know, if you're in a storm today, there are basically two scenarios of this. If you're in a storm today, either God led you into this storm or God's allowing the storm to happen. Whatever the case, whatever the problem you're in, God's stamp is on it. It's not an accident. But I also want you to notice not only the distance that these guys are in, but I also want you to notice the stress and anxiety placed on them in verse 24. It says, the boat was beaten by waves. The disciples were in the storm, and the waves kept on crashing and pounding them. And then it's pounding and crashing. You have to think that they were wondering, would this boat even hold together? They were probably wondering, based on another smash and another pound, wow, are we even going to survive this? Disciples were wondering, can we survive this? There's probably today many of us and many people that we know are wondering the same thing that's going in their life. Are we going to survive the storms or the things that are going on in our life? You know, as soon as you get rid of one problem, pops up another problem, and it's smashing you into you. And you're wondering, are we going to survive? That we're going to. But if you notice, there was a third thing here that the disciples were facing. The winds. But the boat by this time was long away from land. They were beaten by waves, and for the winds were against them. See, it seemed like everything was going against these disciples. The waves were pounding against the boat. And the winds were moving from in different directions. For every 2 feet forward, the winds were pushing them 4 feet back. When they were trying to go one way, the winds were pushing them another way. Does this sound familiar for us in our lives, some of us? You're not making any progress. You're struggling. There's things going on. Here's the thing. You get the plumbing repaired. Now your car breaks down. You get the car fixed. Your kids get sick. You get the kids sick, well, and your company announces a potential layoff. You go 1 foot forward, and it feels like you've been put 2 feet back. there's a gentleman who works for me, and in November, I remember him coming into my office, and he was sitting down, and he was so excited. His kids are grown, they're out of the house, and this was the first time that his wife and he got to take time to plan a vacation. They felt like a vacation long overdue for both of them. I remember him, he goes, man, we're going to look for the prices of the tickets, we're going to figure it. Ron, you travel a lot, you know, help me go through some of these things, how some of the logistics, and I'm working with this guy, and I can see he's excited. But right before Thanksgiving, his wife had a physical, and she went there and found out that she had a lump in her breasts. So then, if you can imagine the anxiety and the stress level, and all of a sudden, now they're sitting there saying, okay, what do I have to do next? Well, then they find out that they had to take a sample of it and found out that now she's going to have to take chemo and radiation. Here he was trying to plan a vacation and his money going towards the vacation, and now he's having to figure out what's the next schedule for my wife, what's the time off, and all these things were going on. The winds and the things were just pounding, but the winds are going to pick up here. See, as he was finding out all this and all this was going on, our company announced that moving forward, that spouses who have insurance where they work have to now take on their insurance. The problem with that is our company's insurance was better than her insurance, which means her premiums would go up, her copay would go up, everything was there. So not only is he trying to figure out all these changes that happened in his life, but it just seems like another thing pushing him off course. And although I would like to say I was in the boat with him, I was pretty near because I had been talking to him all along. And he was going through the struggles. Well, last week, he came to my office and he said, hey, he goes, my wife just finished her last treatment and the tumor is either shrinked or they're going to be able to remove it. And it looks like she's on the path of recovery and she got to ring the bell on that last day. And he goes, I watched my wife go through all this. He goes, I thought she was just going to go ding, ding. He goes, man, she was there dinging that bell really hard. And he goes, at that moment, I just had to let her do it. You know, just let her do it. She woke up every patient in the hospital. Right? You know, from our perspective, life sometimes doesn't make sense, right? Let's just be honest. You know, we may not be able to see God at work. But you got to remember, at the whole time of this, God is in command of these disciples, and he's in command of this boat. You got to remember that although they're far away from shore, their stress and anxiety is high, and they also have the wind, there was one more element in this, if you look, in verse 25, right? It says, and on the fourth watch of night. Well, the fourth watch of night is about 3 a.m. in the morning. So if you can imagine, not only are they getting pounded, not only is the wind blowing them off course, but now there's darkness. And darkness scares a lot of people. Even experienced people like these guys here. I don't believe the disciples knew which way they were going. However, I believe Jesus is the one that did. See, I believe this story has divine all written all over it, stamped all over it. Jesus knew how high the waves would be. Jesus knew how strong the winds would blow. Jesus knew for every 2 feet forward, they were going to move 4 feet back. See, they were in the will of God. And so you say, Ron, well, how do you know they were in the will of God? Because at the very beginning, it says the disciples obeyed Jesus. They obeyed him. They got in the boat. They obeyed. Listen, wouldn't you rather be in a storm in God's will than be in a storm out of God's will? Just think about that this morning. So the next question is asked is, where is Jesus during my storm? Where is Jesus during their storm? Where is he? Where is Jesus during the struggles? Is he out taking a walk? Oh, wow. Is he taking a nap? It is 3 a.m. in the morning. He might be up there taking a nap. Is he just ignoring us? Is he just ignoring them? Is he just ignoring me in my storm? I know some people believe that, that sometimes they think Jesus is ignoring you in your trial. So what is Jesus doing? Well, the good news is this. Let's look at 14:23. And it says, and after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountains by himself to do what? To pray. So what is Jesus doing during this time? He's praying. That's one thing he's doing. This says he's praying. See, he went up there to pray. So what is he doing in our times, I believe? He's up there praying for us. Mark 6, 47, 48, same story about the storm, records it this way. And when the evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. 48 says, and he saw that they were making headway painful, for the winds was against him. So the question you keep on asking yourself, where was he doing? One, he's praying. Second thing he's doing, he's watching over his disciples. He could see them. The good news is that. The good news is that the disciples were never out of Jesus' sight. They were never out of his sight. More importantly, they were never in really any danger in the first place. See, I don't believe the devil can produce enough storms to take you out of the sight of Jesus. Amen? Jesus may allow us to enter the storm, but he's praying for us and he's watching over us. Let's look. What else does Jesus do? In verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So you can see that although he may put us in a storm, he prays for us, he's also coming to you. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Isaiah 43:1-2 says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who founded you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fires, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. He's there. So what we see next, Matthew 14, 26 and 27, says this, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost! And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Right in the midst of their storm, right in the middle of this, all the anxiety and the stress. You just got to picture this, right? These guys are battling for their life. They're in this boat. They're in the middle. Either direction doesn't look good. They're in the middle. Which path do you go? Right in the middle of this. So you can just imagine this. Well, let me tell you a little bit about anxiety and stress for a minute. There was a poll done by the Medical Association in 2017 that said they found out of 1,000 people they polled, 2/3 were extremely or somewhat anxious. They also noted millennials were the most anxious generation. In 2018, the same poll was repeated. Anxiety was shown to have increased 5%. Millennials were still revealed to be the most anxious generation. There is a key note here. Just because anxiety, the feeling of anxiety, doesn't mean they have anxiety disorder. But they're saying anxiety at this level, the stress at this level, is increasing. So I have a big thing to share with you. You know, parents, please take time with your kids. Don't dismiss the stress and the anxiety that they're going through in school and the things that are going on in their life. Please don't. Teenagers and young adults today are faced with more peer pressure, challenges, social network news than ever before. And I can really preach just on that alone, to be honest with you. But in Europe, and many countries are struggling. The young folks have left the church where they're not receiving God. They don't hear God's word, and there's basically no place for them in their mind to go. So how are they handling this? Do you know what will comfort you this morning? The word of God. Jesus said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. See, we must be able this morning in our troubles, in our times. We must be able to see Jesus in the midst of that. They had to be able to see Jesus in the midst of their storm. Here's the thing. God may arrange the storm for you. You may be tossed around in it, and everything may be opposing you. And you may be in your darkest hour, but here's the one thing I can share with you. Jesus is praying for you. He's watching over you. He will be there for you, and he's speaking to you. Let's look at verse 14 to 27. The good news is the storm that threatened to sink the disciples was already under Jesus' feet. That storm that was sinking Jesus, they thought was sinking them, was under. Jesus was walking on the water. And that was what they were afraid of. That's the good news. Whatever problem you have today, it's under Jesus' feet. And him walking on water, it was no trick. Jesus is using that to teach a lesson, to let us know that Jesus is over any problem that may be drowning you today. He's there. In John 16:30 says this, I said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. You will have storms. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen? Matthew 14:27-9 says to me, immediately Jesus spoke to them. See, he did not say anything to them. He spoke to them. Take heart. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him. Oh, this is my part. Peter answered him and says, hey, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Be careful what you ask for. Jesus said, okay, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. What happened? Peter heard Jesus and Peter obeyed Jesus. It says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. He said, come, come. And he went. See, some of us see Jesus and we hear Jesus, but that's right where we stop. We hear him. And we stop. We often fail to obey him. Simon Peter heard him and he obeyed him. And he walked on water. See, here's the thing. I think every church could use a Simon Peter around them. But I will also tell you this. For every Simon Peter, you have a doubting Thomas. Amen? You know, when Peter stepped out of that boat, was old doubting Thomas ran over and grabbed him and said, hey, yeah, sit down. You're about ready to make a fool of yourself again, right? I'm sure we've seen this before in our lives, right? Somebody trying something new, and there's a doubting Thomas that's sitting there trying to hold him back, saying, that won't work. So why did Jesus tell Peter to walk on water? Well, maybe it's because Jesus would rather see somebody get up and try something new than never try anything at all. Maybe. Have you ever thought for a moment that Jesus gets tired of Christians who sit around and do nothing? Some Christians are stuck in a rut, not willing to do anything. They have lost the excitement that they once had. No desire to try anything new. Listen up. I would rather be a Simon Peter, wet and possibly about ready to drown, than a doubting Thomas sitting there dry, bored, and stuck in a rut. Matthew 14:30 said this, but when they saw the winds, but when he saw, Peter saw, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me! Now, when you read this, some of us probably would have thought, well, there he did. He tried it. Didn't work out. He tried something new. But did Peter drown? No. Peter didn't drown. Why? Verse 31. because Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him and saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me?" And when they got into the boat, the winds ceased. See, when you feel like you're sinking, but you're not going to drown. You may feel it, but you're not. Your faith may fail you, but Jesus Christ will not fail you. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. Listen to this. Peter may not have walked very far, but he walked further. I'll say it again. Peter may not have walked very far, but he walked further. Many of us do exactly what Peter did, right? At the beginning, we start to seek Jesus at the time that the winds and the things are going right. We try our best to seek Jesus, right? But the noise and the winds and the things around you start interfering with your vision on him, right? And you start to lose focus on him. That's what happens. And when that happens, Peter was sinking in the water because he was losing his faith and he lost his sight of Jesus. We have to stay focused on him. Peter was sinking in the water only because of this. In Psalms 37, 23, 24 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. Though he falls, he shall not cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." Do you know it's safer to be on the ways with Jesus than you are in the boat without him? I guarantee you one thing. I guarantee you that when Peter got back in that boat, old Doubting Thomas says, "Man, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done that." The other thing I thought about is, gosh, I would hate one day to stand in front of the Lord and not have anything new to try and have to ask, or why I just sat at home twiddling my thumbs and when I had an opportunity to do something. I would hate that to have to happen. See, that same storm, guys, that same storm that maybe everybody thought was impossible, that Peter thought was impossible, and that Peter took his eyes off, right, that he was going to sink, that same storm that Jesus, we see, put them through, brought them to worship. That same storm, and all those guys in that boat, it brought them to worship. If you look, verse 14, 33. "And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" That storm brought people to him. In closing this morning, in the beginning, I told you I would share why Jesus would deliberately lead them into a storm. I said, why would Jesus do that? So I have a question for you. Do you remember the first time that the disciples were in the boat and there was a storm? Do you guys remember that? We're in Matthew 14. Six chapters before this one, chapter 8, says that Jesus told him to get in a boat and go to the other side. Same thing here. But the difference is, it says that Jesus got in the boat with them. And when they cast out to sea, what happened? Jesus says, "I'm going down to the stern of the ship. I'm taking a nap." Remember that? And Jesus on that boat, as he was riding out there, what happened? A storm blew up. And everybody up on top on the deck said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Where's Jesus at? He's down taking a sleep. He's sleeping. He's taking a nap. In our storm? You got to be kidding me. In our problems? You got to be kidding me. Somebody down and get him up here." So I can only imagine at that time when Jesus looked out and said, in chapter 14 says, there's another storm out there. Let me see how much they learned. And when he got to the boat, I often kind of chuckled thinking, did they flunk? See, we know Jesus was preparing them, right? Jesus' mission for that was to get them ready and prepared, because he knew what was going to happen in the future. And when he got the boat, I would like to hope, said, are you guys ready to graduate? See, as Christians, this is one thing we need to take away from this. As Christians, we need to use our knowledge, our experience, and our faith to guide us through the life's storms. We need to use it. We need to hold on to it. We need to leverage other people around us, family, friends, brothers and sisters. We need to leverage that. But I also want to let you know, for the young adults in here and the youth, that if you are facing stress, listen to me this morning, if you're facing stress, pressure, feelings of anxiety, first of all, you're not alone. You're not alone. And secondly, we as a church is here for you. And I'm always willing to listen to you and help you if I can. To your heart, lead me to you.